following Your United Way on all social media platforms. Great to hang out again, Terry. Thank you so much. You have yourself a great weekend.
You too.
Have a good weekend out there, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Congress is gathering outside the U.S. Capitol building this hour to mark 2 years since the Capitol riot. CBS's Steve Dorsey was inside the building on the day of the insurrection.
I've never been in this house. How about you?
That's right. We own it. We own you.
A mob egged on that day by former President Trump broke into the building, their chants echoing through its marble corridors. The deadly attack threatened the lives of then-Vice President Mike Pence, lawmakers, and police. More than 140 officers were among those injured. Since then, hundreds of people have been sentenced for their roles amid congressional investigations that culminated in a scathing report from a Democratic-led House committee blaming Trump and recommending he be charged. Steve Dorsey, CBS News, Washington.
If at first you don't succeed, try again, even if it takes more than 11 tries. CBS is Robert Costa on Republican Kevin McCarthy's effort to overcome some party opposition so he can be the next Speaker of the House.
For McCarthy allies, the calculus right now behind the scenes is that he's going to have to deal with these conservative critics all year. Might as well bring them inside the tent right now, give them a seat at the table, and hope that eventually they turn their ire, their frustration away from him and toward the Biden White House.
The latest jobless report shows employers added 223,000 jobs in December. CBS business analyst Jill Schlesinger breaks it down for us.
Areas that saw consistent job growth throughout 2022, healthcare employment, construction, retail trade, manufacturing, and professional and business services.
The unemployment rate fell to 3.5%, matching a 53-year low. The Biden administration today is expected to announce its largest assistance package to date for Ukraine.
This latest package will include, for the first time, several dozen Bradley fighting vehicles. Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
This will be an armed capability that will be able to carry mechanized infantry into battle and, again, afford protection on the battlefield.
Germany is also providing armored personnel carriers and a Patriot missile battery. Ukraine wants tanks, but the Pentagon says the Bradleys, which are more agile, could change the equation on the battlefield.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. California's weather woes continue following torrential downpours and flooding. This woman watched a landmark in her neighborhood literally wash away.
It's super sad. I've lived here my entire life and it's always just been here. It's like a part of Aptos.
And in Santa Cruz, more rain on the way. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
How long does it take to tackle a home project? With Angie, you could cross it off your list before this ad is over. Just tell us what you need. Indoor, outdoor, repair, or redesign. And we handle the rest, sending a top pro to get it done. You don't have to lift a finger, except to tap the screen or click the mouse. Plus, Angie is free to use. So bring us your next home project, and we'll bring it home. Download the app or go to Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com to get started.
MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Introducing a six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. Right now, you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code SKY. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code SKY. Or call 800-635-1825. That's MyPillow.com, promo code SKY.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate, Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 25 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 6 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 27. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 30. 35 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this January 6th, 2023. Got your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we are going to welcome in at 10:30, Connie Tomsky-Fayville with Friends of Rapids Music. Looking forward to catching up with Connie. Right now, catching up with our good friend, Representative Scott Crew of Wisconsin Assembly District 72 in studio.
Yeah.
Scott, how you doing?
I'm good. I figured I was over at the Y, just swing in and do the in-studio thing since it's your one-year anniversary week here. I just had to come see it again. I don't get here very often.
We appreciate that. Yeah. I got to start out right out the gate. You look great, sir. You look good, man. It's good to have you.
It has been an awesome year. I mean, it's 9 months out from surgery, and just maintaining 100-pound weight loss is just, it's a different world. So I'm thrilled. I'm energetic. I'm ready to go.
Personally, I like having you in studio because I could see you face-to-face, right, and I could see how you're doing, and it's great to see. I'm very appreciative. Forget all the politics, all the other stuff, man. Just man-to-man, it is good to see you're doing well.
Yeah, it's life, right? Yes. And we talk about that all the time on this program, whether we're in person or on the phone. I mean, there are bigger things than politics. Like we saw this week, there are bigger things than football. I mean,
right.
And it's something that, you know, we'll talk about at some point in the future, but just having that, you know, at some point we're going to sneak in a guy show here.
Just an hour
just on life and politics and football and baseball, just in general, just life once.
We may need you to retire from politics first, though.
I know.
I'm
trying the radio voice out, so we're just going to try to see if it carries here. So.
It works. It works. I'm especially a little surprised to have you in studio because you got a new office that you could be sitting in right now,
and
from what I hear.
I tell you, you know, it's weird because I've been there, you know, this is my seventh term, so 12 years in, and now there are just three people there that have been there longer than I've been.
Wow.
And it's insane to think like that, but with that comes some perks. First pick of office, first pick of, you know, parking lot, first pick of where you want to sit on the floor. So we did. We moved across the hall at the Capitol office and took a bunch of the, you know, all of my Badger decorative stuff and really decorated the place for the first time in 12 years because I figure I think I'm going to stay a little while.
Yeah.
You know, I think I might win I might win another election once or twice.
It could happen.
So I was always hesitant to take everything down there, but we finally decked it out and it's cozy. So yeah, it's nice to be down there again.
It sounds like a really nice office. It's good for everybody too. Good for the staff, everybody as well. And it is an interesting part of it. It's cool that that came up because I wanted to talk with you about your inauguration and how that feels.
Yeah.
You mentioned this a couple of times. You know, you've been doing this a while now. As third most senior member in there in that building and stuff. That says something. Yeah. I don't want to word this as does it get old,
right?
But what is it about it that makes it feel like new and fresh every time? Because that, just knowing you a little bit, that seems to be more the case of than I've done this before. Like, I imagine there's none of that. It's got to feel unique every time.
So I'll tell you this is, before I got involved in, you know, government stuff, whether it's programming at the jail or at the Capitol or, you know, whatever it is, I never held a job for more than 2 years at a time because I get so bored so fast, right? So now 12 years in the state assembly, I'm not saying that every day has been exciting. I'm not saying that every day was fun to go to work. So this session, I really changed it up a lot. You know, since my scare 2 years ago, all this health stuff that, you know, I've been going through and figuring out and fixing, I wanted to go back to Madison with something fresh. So I asked for a new committee assignment. I asked to be all new committees. I asked for, you know, new office. I mean, those are things that freshen it up because You know, it does get stagnant when you do the same thing. You know, I had the same committee for the last 6 years and just haven't been able to get a lot done in that committee because of how the politics are around public benefits and all that type of stuff. So I decided to take on something even more political and do campaigns and elections, right, but we'll talk about that in a bit. But it's nice to have new things to focus on, because if I can keep learning, that's great. But if I had to keep regurgitating everything I've done, then it gets old. So that's why I went into this cycle with something entirely new, a new way to campaign, a new way to get back to Madison, a new way of doing everything, just to keep it fresh. So that's the key to it.
We get so used to seeing these representatives, these congressmen, these senators for years and years, sometimes decades doing this job. And I see so many of these familiar faces. Some of them I've seen my whole life doing this. Right. And I thought about you and in this position and stuff. And the you know, and again, congratulations on being elected again, and the swearing in, and thinking about that, seeing some of the postings about it. And I wondered how you don't get complacent, how it's such human nature to, well, here's the same old routine doing the same old thing. And of all the industries that we can't afford for people to get complacent in, it's politics, especially when one of my main headlines I wanted to talk with you about today is, what do we got to do to get more done? Because I think that is, you look at for themes. I think both parties do this, especially around a political time. What's this side's going to bring up this? This side's going to bring up this, and you know, these are the big heavy topics in our constituency. The most common thing I think I see is that this frustration on both sides of the aisle, not just from the constituents, but from the politicians themselves. I don't know if I've ever seen more anger, like literal, just blunt anger, frustration coming out of Washington, coming out of Madison, coming out of all these places of, hey, when are we going to actually do anything?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that is the whole point of what the West Central legislators in Wisconsin have been all about. We are the majority, whether we're Republicans or we're Democrats. This West Central corridor of Republicans and Democrats, who are almost all common sense. I can't think of anybody who really isn't, but I never say all or never. But it's been time, and we nibble around the edges. You know, we work really well with, say, Representative Shanklin over in Stevens Point, Representative Emerson in Eau Claire on water quality stuff, and you know, we try to figure out how we can get together in those things. But now it's time for the bigger guys, the higher paychecks. You know, to start figuring out how to get together. So I look long term. I look at Governor Evers, and I look at him, and I think he's probably not going to run for re-election again. You know, get to that point where you just assume that you're, you know, not going to do it because you're getting older and things like that, and other challenges. So I start thinking, you know, he's looking for legacy things. He's looking for things that people that remember him by. I look at Speaker Voss in the Assembly, and I see he's been Speaker now for, this is his fifth term in the speakership, and he's been there 16 years overall. He's not going to be there forever either. I think this is probably his last term. I think he wants to rebuild some legacy things over all of the, you know, what he took over the campaigns and election stuff. So I think those two have finally come together and said, you know what, let's just stop. We're not going to get rid of each other. Why don't we just get something done? And it's been nice because there's been actual conversations between them lately. I mean, Robin was over at the mansion with the governor, and they were playing cribbage talking about policy.
Wow.
That's exciting, right?
That's very.
For the rank and file, for all of us who have good ideas of bills that have just either sat on our desk or got vetoed on the governor's desk, it's great because now we can, you know, put all those bills in with some expectation we can get things done. And I think on our end in the rank and file, I think it's incumbent upon us to start bringing down the rhetoric. We saw one of our members get kicked out of our caucus because of the excessive rhetoric she was putting out there. And it just so happened that I asked to take over her committee that she was leading because she was not doing a very good job with it whatsoever, even though campaigns and elections is not my background. It's not my forte. I've got a lot of learning to do, but it's time to bring common sense approach to reforms instead of being so reactive and rhetorical and all of these issues that keep coming up over and over again. It's time to just put this aside and get stuff done in that committee.
Yeah, and we'll I want to get into that a little bit with you. This will kind of bleed into that, I think, because I looking at this and coming into a new year, like many people, with fresh eyes and stuff and wanting a different year than last year and a better year than last year, I think that when we look at our purple states, and especially Wisconsin, we can be the leaders in this. We can
be the always example. Been the laboratory of democracy. Wisconsin's always been the innovator. Wisconsin's always been the creator, whether it's unemployment insurance, workers' comp. Wisconsin has always led the nation in those regards. And that's what Robin was talking about in caucus this week, is that we've got to find ways to innovate and be creative and bring new things to the forefront that people can duplicate across the country. Governor Thompson did it with welfare reform. why can't we be leaders in that again? You know, we've done all of these things before, and Governor Thompson had minorities when he was the Republican governor for 12 years, and he got everything done he wanted to get done.
I find it dangerous to do this sometimes, but I'm also me, and I can't help making sports metaphors.
Yeah, I know. That's life, right? Yeah.
One of my favorite, if not my favorite sports moment, was when Walter Payton passed away. The Packers-Bears play that weekend, and you see all these signs in Lambeau of thank you, sweetness, and all this.
Right.
It's not a big deal. I can look at Brett Favre's career and say, that's one of the greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life, greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen. That's not my team, but I can do that. Why can't we do that in politics? Why can't we get to a place in society where compromise is not a negative? Compromise is not a bad thing. If I say something nice about somebody in another party, it doesn't mean I want them to be elected. It doesn't mean I want to go have a beer with them or anything. Yeah. It just means, you know what? They did something to help everybody out. They got it right that time. Nice job.
You know what's driving the nail into that coffin of partisanship? Hmm. Washington this week. Hmm. 11 votes for the speakership.
What the what, man?
It is ridiculous that there are 20 Republicans that are holding up the entire Congress, but there's blame to share in the Democrat side, too, that they could just come across and cast some votes for somebody and just say, let's get this done. So Washington is putting the final nails in this coffin, because you don't see that in Wisconsin. We had last week our speaker election, our inauguration. We had four members total who just didn't cast a vote. Mm. They didn't stand up and do press conferences. Yeah. They didn't fundraise off of it. They sat there and held their tongue and didn't say anything for either one. We picked a leader. We got sworn in. We got our badges. We got down to business.
Yeah.
So everything that we talked about in the beginning of the show about how people are fed up with it, Washington's perpetuating it this week. And I talked to Derek Van Orden last night. He's still not sworn in as a congressman right now, and he is furious that he spent the last 4 years campaigning for this spot, and now he's being held up by some idiots on one side or both sides who just don't want to be adults and get something done. So I think what's going on in Washington is really putting the nail in the coffin of partisanship. And to see, you know, even when those people were, you know, Trump followers, Trump puts out the tweet saying, okay, it's time to be done, it's over.
Yeah.
Now they just blew right past him. So they're on a whole new level of crazy.
Oh, yeah. But this is when you create a monster. This is what happens. The monster is not going to listen to you. It's a monster. It doesn't listen to anybody. It's
so now
do its
they're
own thing.
And I talked to Derek, and you know, they're literally about 80 to 100 Congress people right now, across both sides of the aisle, that are ready to start finding somebody else, voting together, picking a new leader, and just saying, let's get started.
I think that if that doesn't happen this week, and it'll happen next week for sure.
It's like a movie. It's like the old Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, where there's finally fed up enough that something is going to break, and I think this is what they're finally doing, is breaking the problems we've had.
The House last struggled to elect a speaker 100 years ago.
Yeah, I think I saw 160 years ago was the last time I passed seven ballots. So.
And this is one of the reasons why it really fits having you on this week, because for those that, you know, the time that we've, Scott and I have been talking, one of the things that I like to lean on was, Scott, is your political what you went to school for and everything, your political science. And for those that don't know, anything that requires House and Senate to vote on cannot be until a speaker is elected. Line of succession, this affects that.
It affects constituent services. If somebody didn't get their Social Security check last week during the first of the month, they can't call their Congress office and say, hey, I need help. They can't. Yeah. There is no congressperson for any of these districts across the country because of 30-some people that are on the fringes on both sides. It comes down to basics like that, even.
maybe even by the end of this segment, that they'll have gotten something done.
Well, I'm going to make some calls here. We'll see what happens.
I appreciate that.
I wish, right? Gosh.
Let's talk about the committees. You mentioned that you wanted to be on different committees this year. You wanted to kind of change that up a little bit. And certainly starting off with that was the recent committee that you joined. You're the chair of the Campaign and Elections Committee.
Yeah.
We touched on that a little bit. That's one that you mentioned you have to learn up a little bit on.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, and the way I've always chaired my committees, I have always saw that a committee chairperson is a referee. So I always bring it back to sports like you do.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm the ref. I'm not sitting here. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not forcing anything down your throat. I'm the ref. When I see foul, I call foul. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. I put the referee shirt on. Both sides get to talk. Both sides get to do their thing. We're going to stop the crazy. That's the first flag. It's over.
Yeah.
Now,
what do you mean by I think I know what you mean, but what do you mean necessarily by crazy?
Let's decertify the 2020 election. Let's get rid of all. Come on. So just tap on that for a second, then we're done with it forever. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 2020, people thought there may have been issues, but we just had an election in 2022 where Ron Johnson was reelected as our U.S. Senator and Governor Evers was elected as our Democrat governor. How do you fraud an election and have the two top on both sides win? It's done. It's over. If anything happened in 2020, somebody's hands were caught in the cookie jar, because it sure the heck didn't happen in 22.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Right.
The next easiest Band-Aid to rip off in that committee is to start at processing our absentee ballots earlier in the state of Wisconsin than on Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't have our election results in before 10 o'clock like Florida does, who has three times the population, what the heck are we doing? You know,
I've wanted to do a lot more digging on that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There are 30-some states, and we've been doing this work because I've anticipated this committee for a while, 34 states that actually can get their election results to people before 4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's easier for some of them because they're very red or they're very blue, and it's hard for us as a Wisconsin and a purple state to say that we're not always going to have close elections. But still, in 2022, I think we can figure out a way to open up ballots, count them, hold the count until a certain time at 8 o'clock on Election Day, release all the absentee ballots, then count all the ballots that came in on Election Day, be done by 11 o'clock at night, people can go to bed, people can have confidence, people don't have to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or the next morning and say, oh, my guy was ahead, now he lost, there's fraud. It's just common sense.
What do you think we need to do to make that part of this process happen, to make the election results get them quicker?
Yeah, so I've started developing relationships with all my committee members, letting them know it's my highest priority for this committee. Mm-hmm. They've all been receptive, Republican, Democrat. We had a bill last session that the Senate Majority Leader put out that it got through both chambers and got vetoed by the governor. Mm-hmm. So our next step is talking to the governor's office and say, hey, it's time. Yeah. I think this benefits them too. Democrats and Republicans both benefit when people aren't saying that there was fraud in the election because the count changed at 3 o'clock in the morning when all the absentee ballots in Milwaukee came in.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need. I just need the governor to sign the bill when it gets to his desk.
Mm.
I make a pledge to you. I make a pledge to my constituents and to the governor's office. We're not going to put poison pills in this bill.
Yeah.
This is 90% of our election problem.
Let's
just rip the Band-Aid off, get this done before the state budget, and we don't have to worry about it for the August elections, for the November elections, or any elections moving forward. We can just call it good.
Whenever this topic comes up, the first thing I think of is all these people, these volunteers, these people that work the polls for us, that help us keep democracy alive, and the smack in the face that it is to keep bringing up something that happened 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And that I understand. I'm one of the first people to question anything the government does. I wholeheartedly admit that.
I'm right behind you, brother.
But even I, as a realist, a pessimist, sometimes all these things, can't look at all this data and say that there's any holes here, that there's anything to worry about. And and to me, I believe enough in the process. Do I have questions? Do I have concerns? Absolutely. But I believe in democracy enough to trust this process that we've been doing for over 100 some years, that it's going to work. It's going to be okay. Let alone, do we have more? They were pulling off elections like this 50 years ago with a lot of the less technology and communication and everything. Yeah. We have so many advantages nowadays, and there's so much work that needs to be done. This is maybe my biggest issue with this topic or any of these kind of these fringe topics that you have this extreme on one side of the aisle, both sides, doing. It takes away from the work that needs to be done.
Right. Yeah, we're talking about process all the time now instead of policy. And that's the ridiculous thing about trying to get these things done. Yes, there are some legitimate things we can reform in elections to make observers more accessible to seeing everything that's going on. And, you know, people are afraid on one side that we're taking away people's ability to vote. On the other side, they're worried that they can't observe the process. We can figure those things out. They're not really that big of things to get done. And I think people's fear of each other because of all the partisanship of the last 20 years is creating that problem. It didn't, like you said, it didn't exist 40 years ago because people didn't fear each other because they were an R or a D or that they knew somebody who was or that wasn't. You know, so it's just a trust thing. It's not really a process thing. But yeah, we got to quit talking about this stuff because we've got so much policy stuff that we need to get done that we're not even to talk about because there's no oxygen left in the room because the media just wants to grab onto this one and say, look, they're fighting again. Well, we're not. We don't fight 95% of the time.
I do think that it's I don't like the idea of just pointing the finger and blaming any one thing. But you'd be remiss if you didn't look at the media and say, well, they seem to go for the low-hanging fruit all the time. And it's not just the major news networks. It's not just the 24-hour news cycle things. It's local news. It's all of the above. Everybody has taken the lazy route when it comes to media these days.
Yeah, I mean,
news.
It's not exciting to read a press release that Scott Krug went to the grand opening of the ADRC in Stevens Point.
Right.
But it is pretty exciting to
Scott
hear
Scott Crew. Da, 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 da,
yeah, right.
Know,
yeah,
that kind you, of thing, you, that.
Yeah. So I mean, there is that part of it. So that's always the low hanging fruit that makes it hard for reporters to want to glob onto those things because they're boring.
There's a mix there, a bridge that needs to be built between media and in the community and in society, because I genuinely don't see in society looking for that. Right. I don't think most people in society want to turn on their news and just hit me with the bad stuff, everybody. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want to watch for half an hour and feel like crap when I'm done.
Yeah, right. I think that you can do a balance of do your job as a journalist and let me know about the real stuff. Yeah. You can also let me know about the good real stuff. You can do both. It's
not to degrade anybody in particular, but if there are any charter customers out there with Spectrum, if you get a chance to see Spectrum News, that is a really awesome source. Mm. I mean, they are fair, balanced. They just report. Mm-hmm. They let you decide. I mean, I swear by that when I get a chance to see it. I don't have it because I'm a streamer. I got YouTube TV, But if we could figure out a way to get more of those sources out to people, because it's already a built-in paid thing that they don't have to depend on people buying into their ratings like Fox or CNN have to get subscribers and people to watch. If it's a built-in source that's already paid for by some entity, just let them go. Let them rip, man. It's pretty good stuff.
I got to wonder if we get to a point here where enough is enough. Yeah. And finally we have it. We get to that point when we get to this place where that is what the news is. Because the news stations, they're doing a lot of that, but I also think that you have to think of, I look at reality TV and I'm like, I can't stand reality TV. I don't understand why this is such low hanging fruit and it's so lame and all this, but it's popular for a reason because a lot of people are watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I aren't, but they are. It also comes down to personal responsibility and people being like, that's not the news I want. And I'm going to make sure they know that. I'm going to make sure advertisers know that because that's who you really got to hit up.
Yeah.
The news producers and everything like that. Everybody's beholden to their advertisers.
Yeah, I mean, can find any source that they like, and then they're just going to echo chamber the source that they like, whether that source is absolutely crazy or not. And I get links all the time from people in Facebook and Messenger saying, look, I saw this on the internet. Oh, well, okay, yeah, that must be right then. You know, so it is. It's a lot of personal responsibility and gleaning through what you feel is reality and just talking to the people who are doing the things and making sure it is reality. So we talk about every month. It is. It's personal responsibility. It's trust. It's relationships.
If what you're reading doesn't feel right, trust your gut. Look into that. Look a little deeper. Even if it does feel right, look a little deeper. Read other articles. Read opposing articles. If you're a Fox guy, check out CNN. If you're a CNN guy, check out Fox. Yeah. You got to get a little bit of all the worlds in there and then make your decisions. And then
honestly,
kind of
and that's why I tell people that all the time, too. If you're a hyper-partisan, if you're way on the left or way on the right, don't watch your program, watch the other side's program. Just do that for 2 days and just kind of, okay, well, maybe that's right, maybe that's not. You know, just do some critical thinking.
Yes, yes. I push back at the idea of, well, I don't need to hear that stuff or I don't want to hear that stuff. It might influence me. Well, what's wrong with that?
I campaign on that all the time. I'm going to tell you stuff you don't like. You're going to hear things you don't want to hear, but you have to hear it. I mean, it's just... That's how the world works. I mean, being a parent and now a grandparent, I mean, that's how I want to live my life. Yeah. I just want people to know what the truth is.
I did want to wish a congratulations to your daughter having a big birthday here. I know what it's like having a 20-something and stuff.
It's crazy.
We've
got, I think, all five of the older ones are in their 20s now because she was the youngest. So.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's such a weird feeling to never get used to. Yep. But I did want to congratulate her on that. And I did want, of course, to reward us because we had our serious talk. Now we can talk a little sports.
Yes.
Huge deal for the Brewers, to me at least, bringing in the great catcher Contreras.
Man, that was a steal.
Yeah.
I don't know how they pulled that off.
I did not see that coming, especially it almost looked like they were going to be taking a little bit of a kind of wait and see who's left.
Yeah, dumping salary and just you know, scraping at the edges. And they figured it out. So they're finishing up the bullpen this week and pulling in some guys like Miley and some other guys that'll help out. And so you can see, I mean, I came decked out for
it. Yeah, yeah, nice.
I'm ready for spring training. I'm not even wearing a coat anymore. So it's getting to be close enough. So
one of the only things I look forward to in winter is February because pitchers and catchers are reporting.
Yes, I got the timer set on the phone. So, yeah.
Nice. It is great to see you, sir. I'm really, really happy to see that you're doing well. Keep that up. Keep up the great work out there. And if people have follow-up questions, they want to talk to you, Scott, they want to know more or have a deeper conversation that we've been having, yeah, how can they reach you?
Phone's always on. 715-323-3293. I kind of stay away from the Facebook stuff now. Just give me a call. Yeah, right. Shoot me a text.
Right on. Good idea. Good to see you, Scott. You take care.
Yeah, you too, man. Take care.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes. I even got shot. But I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's YAP advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Betterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 25 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 6 above. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 27. Tomorrow, mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times Sunday, with daytime highs approaching 30. 35 Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this January 6th, 2022. Your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our great friend, Connie Tomsky-Fayville from Friends of Rapids Music. It is so good to see you, Connie.
Thank you, James. It's so good to be here.
It feels like it's been way too long.
I know. I'm not sure what happened. Christmas got in there.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Thanksgiving. It's been a while.
Life.
Life got in there.
I do have to say I'm a little frustrated. Both you and Scott come in looking great. I feel like a slob today.
I
that's not fair.
No, you look great.
You guys got to give me a heads up next time. Like, hey, we're going to come in looking good.
You're so funny.
We love talking with our Friends of Rapids Music. And of course, there's a lot to look forward to in 2023. I did think, though, one way to kind of fill the conversation a little bit was to kind of take a look back at last year and the accomplishments and how great last year was for FRM, for just music in this area in general. fun year. We had some new contests. We had some new opportunities for our artists to get out there and get their music out there. Some new avenues, some new like literal places for them to play. What are some of the headlines to you when you look at the last year here in this area for music?
Sure. Well, our program FRM Fridays comes to mind right away because I think when you and I first started that, it was maybe two or three or four performers, and then there was a long gap, and then we started talking about another segment, and pretty soon we had another segment, and that was five or six more performers every Friday for 6 weeks or whatever it was, and then again another segment I think there was in there. So I feel really good about offering that, not just to our musicians, who loved it, by the way, they loved playing here, but offering it to the community, because it's not often we get to feature these talented musicians, and then they get to share with the community, you know, what they've written. Many times it's original work, or just what they can do, and so I feel really good about what we were able to accomplish with FRM Fridays, and I heard some comments from the community that they were enjoying it too.
So. Yeah, it certainly was a blast here. It was a humbling and wonderful experience to have every one of those musicians on with us, looking so forward to figuring out more in the future like that.
Sure.
I got to say, the Rise to Music, Coosa's Rise to Music, was another one of those things that really stands out to me in the last year.
Absolutely, me too. It was just so fantastic to be involved with Megan and Casey and Steph here at the station, you know, in supporting what they were doing down there at Who's at the Lakes. And when Casey brought that idea to me, and initially I'm like, I am all for this, but like, can you guys pull this off? Or, you know, and they did just a beautiful job. And I think they had, you know, hundreds of people during the course of the competition, and that's not counting the musicians, it's counting everyone they brought with them, and such good talent that was showcased every Thursday night for 6 or 7 Thursdays, and then the final competition. So I saw that whole event as something that's really elevating our musicians here in the area. And incidentally, it drew musicians from the Fox Valley or from the western area of the state too. And I couldn't believe the talent that was there each Thursday. I didn't get to each Thursday's performance, but the ones I was at, there's just some talented folks out there. And it was really fun to be a part of, you know, showcasing that talent.
When I was in high school, it was always a big deal to like go to like Radio Chaos or some record store or something and find a Madison artist.
Exactly.
A Boy Wonder, like some of these bands that I think of when I was a kid, and the only way you could find their CD was in a store, a local Wisconsin Rapids, you know, or a Wisconsin store and stuff. And how big it felt, how cool it felt like that. And now I talk to younger people it's not a big deal to find an artist that's two doors down. You know, it's so much better for these artists to get their music out there.
Absolutely.
And it makes it better for us as you know, people that love this music to be able to not only purchase it, but to see it live. That third part of that is so important.
I agree. And I really am thankful not only to Hoozles at the Lakes, but all of our live music venues. Because it's like you said, our young people need a chance to, you know, rub shoulders with some of these really talented people who are making music their life and doing it for a living. So it's different from watching a musician perform on the internet or on, you know, some TV show somewhere. It's even different from hearing someone on the radio. If you can see a performance live, and if you're an aspiring young musician, to get a chance maybe to talk to that performer backstage or out front during their break, get them, you know, to sign the CD that you just bought that they produced, there's something different about that experience. And I just love seeing that in our area, because Sure, you get it in Madison and Milwaukee, and you get it in Chicago. But hey, we've got some of that right here in Wisconsin Rapids. I'm proud of that.
Very. I back that, and I think it's so unique that we have that, and while we also get to keep this Midwest mentality and the way we treat each other and all those things, you see a great mixing of those. And I was thinking about this the last time Sally Kistner was in with us. I always like to talk with her on air, off air, because I'm always curious about the logistics of setting up the things at the Arts Council and all that. And then I think about what you do with FRM, not only for us here at WFHR, because for those that, if I have not addressed this enough, if you enjoyed FRM Fridays, you enjoy Connie, because that was all Connie.
It was the musicians. You and I were brainstorming on how can we do this.
But you did the so much of the heavy lifting when it came to that of working with them and finding the right schedule.
It was fun, really. It was my pleasure.
And then I think of FRM Fest, which we had another banger of an FRM Fest. A great 2022 FRM Fest, even with all the weather
even
and all that.
Even with the rain.
It was impressive. And I think of the logistics of working that out, of getting these bands here, of setting all that up. Mm. And let's be honest, you don't have a ton of resources. You don't have a lot of people that you can lean on to help with this stuff. Yep. We really appreciate that, Connie. Just here at WFHR, this community really appreciates it.
Thank you very much. It really is my pleasure. I love planning FRM Festival. I love working with all the volunteers. It's just a super thrill for me every time we start talking about what we'd like to do and then seeing it happen. You know, this last one, wow. it rained from early setup, which is like 8 a.m., all through the day and to tear down at 10 o'clock at night, and it was cold.
Yeah.
And, going to set up that morning, I thought, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the volunteers decided to stay home today. I wouldn't be surprised if people did not even show up. What ended up happening was all of our volunteers were there bright and early, ready to work, just saying, where do you want me? Some had rain gear, some did not. But then also all the people that came out, especially for the headliner, it was just amazing to see people really enjoying the live music, but also kind of enjoying what we had worked on all year to put together, despite the weather.
Yeah.
You know, who cares about the weather? When it comes right down to it, we love our music. And so I was just blown away by the support from the community and from our stellar volunteers. Mm-hmm. I remember specifically, he's been a musician for years and years and years, and everybody would know if I said his name, but it was one of his first times volunteering, I think, because he usually is always booked playing all around the state. And he came up to me kind of later in the day, thoroughly drenched, just soaked from head to toe. And he said, I don't live far from here. Can I just run home quick and get changed? I'll be right back. He said, I'll be right back. I said, you just go right ahead and go home. You get yourself some clothes, some dry clothes. He came right back and he worked. He was there from 8 a.m. set up until we tore down at 10. So, I mean, it's those kinds of people that keep this thing going for sure. And I can't speak highly enough about the group of volunteers that we have, just so dedicated there year after year.
Yeah.
You know, it's I can't say enough good about them.
I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. And seeing so many of them, everybody I saw, whether it was volunteers, it was people there, even the musicians themselves, I didn't see anybody with their head down. I didn't see anybody not smiling.
Right.
Like, I will say that we had an advantage doing FRM Fest in the Midwest where the weather's not going to stop us.
I mean, we're just going to go ahead with it, right?
Yeah.
We make the best of a bad situation. And we kind of all gathered in the picnic shelter there in the pavilion. And Craig, our sound engineer, who's just this very fantastic, gifted sound engineer, best in the state, according to the Wisconsin Area Music Association and industry. And he just said, you know what, I can do this, I can make it work. And he just adapted all of his gear to that particular sound environment. And it sounded fantastic, I thought, the whole day. So it turned out to be just a great day. It really did. A lot of fun.
We're going to go to break in a moment. Before we do, though, I want to thank all those people. Certainly, I did want to send a special shout out to two two artists in particular. First, the Wisconsin Rapids Suzuki violin chapter.
Absolutely.
Because I genuinely believe that I think the day would have went the way it did no matter what. But I don't know if it would have started as early as it did if those kids didn't take the initiative to just go up there and start playing.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of those things where the reason that, you know, that we do choose that group every year is because, not every year, they weren't our starters a couple of years, but they start the festival off with this feeling of, hey, there's all kinds of genres of music out there, and there are even small children who can play some of these things. And so it sets this tone of kind of exploration of music for the day, mm-hmm. and of, you know, see how hard that they work even at a young age to perform. And so the Suzuki Violin Group, with Sylvia Mahaly as director, they are a fantastic bunch of kids, and they're very professional as well. So
I'm a group. I well said. I'm a big fan of all the artists that were there and stuff, but I did want to send a shout out to Jordan Bain,
yeah, sure.
and Save Point, because they come out there, and again, you need an energy. Mm-hmm. You need to do that. And I don't know how you necessarily create that until you can actually be in that moment and know what to say, what to do, and everything. Yeah. And Jordan couldn't have handled it better.
It went great.
Great job by him. Great job by his band to get the mood going. Yeah. They come out, and the first song they play is No Rain.
Yeah, I know.
And it wasn't planned, obviously. They just come up with that. And yeah. that to me set the tone. It really did. It's like, yeah. Rain, you're not going to stop us.
Exactly.
We're going to keep doing this.
Yep. And, you know, Jordan and I communicated a lot beforehand and then afterwards too. And even a few days, or it might have been a week after, he sent me a message just saying, you know, thanks so much, because we really had fun that day. And I thought he was going to say, oh my gosh, why did you go ahead with this, you know? But he really was happy to be there, and his guys seemed to have a good time too.
The weather doesn't affect how you listen to music, you know?
It doesn't.
We have kind of done a nice job, I think, looking back. When we come back, we'll look a little forward. We'll be back with more with our friends from FRM right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. When you connect with an expert, getting coverage is easy and our help is free. We find the best deals, whether it's from healthcare.gov or state coverage like BadgerCare. And you can reach us in person, phone, text, or online. Honestly, it's like chatting with a friend who knows everything about health insurance. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Yeah.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 25. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 6 above. High temperatures reach up to 27. Tomorrow, mainly sunny. Temperatures a bit above average Sunday and Monday with highs from the upper 20s to the mid 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 19.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to the Morning Magazine here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Connie Tomsky-Fayville joining us from Friends of Rapids Music. I'm going to take you right to the top of the hour. Last bit of the week here of our live time on the air with you, until, of course, our weekend shows. And that brings me to our future and the ahead of 2023 and what there is to so many things to look forward to. Certainly don't want to put you on the spot with the lineup for FRM Fest 2023, but I am curious about types of music. If you've thought about that, if you've been, I know you a bit, Connie. I know that way that brain works. And we got a very similar creative process like that. You have had such successful FRM Fests, you know, really all of them, but really especially last year. I think it has to be considered, I don't know financially how it went, but it has to be considered one of the most successful ones just because of all the factors of things that could go wrong all happened, right? And you still pulled off a great fest.
Oh, yeah, we did.
What are some things that you're hopeful to do with the fest, with just the with FRM in general, going forward in 2023 to make it stronger, better, more unified, all these things?
Sure. So, you know, we always try to kind of build the show around our headliner a little bit, in that, you know, if we have like a big country headliner, then earlier in the day, we might make sure that we feature a few different genres, very different genres probably, because the variety of music is really what we're after. I am scouting currently.
Nice.
So scouting for, I have a couple ideas for a headliner, but also scouting for our local band. So, and just because you might not see me out at venues doesn't mean I'm not looking for music. Mm-hmm. So in looking forward, it's a little bit of the same approach, in that we do like to build the festival kind of around the headliner, but also, you know, just in trying to increase our numbers, we'd like to do that a little bit more, which might mean more promotion than we've done in the past, and just making sure that we take into account people's comments from past festivals. We do enjoy that when we hear how people feel about certain things, and then we make modifications accordingly. So it's very early in our year right now. We are just in the early planning stages, but I guess I can tell you that much so far.
Oh, that's great, though. That's something. I like that. I also I think that it's fun to have things to look forward to. It'd be you know, fine if you came here and told us, you know, the whole lineup or whatever, and that'd be fun, and we'd have fun dissecting that. Yeah. But it also is kind of fun to have something to look forward to. Yeah. We don't need everything at the first week of the year and stuff.
Right. Right.
I know one thing. I know that it is going to be amazing. It is going to be fun, and it is something to look forward to, as I've done on the years past and stuff. If you want me, I'm there.
Oh,
I'm your MC
you,
going forward. As long as I'm walking this earth, I will do that gig.
Thank you very much.
I know that it's going to be exciting.
Well,
I know
thanks.
That much.
I hope so, too. We are, you know, really hoping to raise the funding that we need, because our numbers were down for our last rainout festival.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, trying to, you know, encourage as many donations as possible so that we can raise the funds that we need. Part of the issue from the rainout was that in most festivals, we're able to have proceeds enough to have seed money for the next festival.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't able to achieve that this year.
Yeah.
So we're basically starting, you know, from a very low number and needing to bring in quite a few more donations in order to have the kind of festival that we do like to have.
And if I am a business, if I am a nonprofit, if I am anybody out there listening, if I can't think of many better opportunities to help promote what you do than being a part of a music festival, let alone a one that is well established, that you know has a core audience that's going to show up, let alone all the other people that might come or will come, especially if you're a business and you're bringing those people. This is a win-win for you. You are investing in your community. You're putting into your community. You're helping locals. I can't think of many. If I'm a business, I'm calling you guys as soon as you're off the air here.
It's our gift to the community is what the festival is. That's how we look at it. And we've had such tremendous support in the past that we're really hoping that that happens again this year. But I can just read through some of the things we've done during the year with money that has been raised at the festival. Obviously, we were helpful with the Rise to Music singing competition down in Rome. We donated to the outdoor stage that was built at the Cultural Center. We do feature local musicians on WFHR. James, you might be familiar with that. We contributed to the auditorium renovations at McMillan Library. We've contributed in the past to free music lessons for children and adults, scholarships for high school students majoring in music at college, promotion of live music events on our Facebook page, and then we have helped in the past many musicians in need or many musicians, struggling musicians, families, where the musician has, been deceased. So we really do take these proceeds and we just try to give it back to the community in the ways that we think helps the community. And we think the arts and particular music is, it can save lives sometimes. Yes. It's a healing force. And when music helps individuals be healthier, then we have healthier communities. So it's kind of a big circle, really. The community Absolutely. Gives to us, and then they come to the festival, and then it gets circulated right back into the community.
I genuinely believe if you're looking for connections, you're looking for things that we have more in common than not, everybody has had at least once in their life, if not multiple moments where I got to listen to that song.
Absolutely.
I got to hear that song. I'm in this mood. I need this song right now.
Absolutely. And
music is healing.
Think of different events. Think of the last wedding you were at. There was music there. Think of the last funeral. There was probably music. All of our major life celebrations and major life sadness events, sometimes they are almost always going to have music. So where does that music start? It starts in communities. It starts sometimes when you're young, starts when you're old. But music is a force that I think is a very healing power, as I said before, and it really helps a lot of people.
We are, when we wrap up here, Connie, I'm going to go into the other studio, and Seth and I are going to record this week's Director's Cut with Ben Shittek.
Oh, excellent.
I haven't seen Ben in a while. Looking forward to hanging out with him a little.
He's been very, very busy, I can assure you.
I actually was really, I was a little surprised when he said he would do it, because aren't you too busy?
You're lucky, I'm telling you.
I got him at 1 hour, he's free. He's going to come in. We're going to do that. And I did want to mention other things because we are looking, Connie and I are working on this, and I have no doubt by it, but we'll figure something out of FRM Fridays again. But one of the things, the purposes of Director's Cut that I wanted to do, the crux with doing a live show is asking musicians to be here at 9 in the morning. It's not fair. It's hard for me to be here at 9 in the morning, let alone if I had a gig at that went till bar close, and then I got to come in here in the morning or something. And we're trying to think of ways to do something where, hey, whatever your schedule is, we'll work with that. Sometimes we'll go to you.
Yeah, that's great.
And then with this new civic media that we have now, all of our shows are podcasted, everything's streaming. So if you do miss it, you don't really miss it. You can always go download
that's
the podcast and stuff.
Yeah.
It's another great way for us to support these artists, to promote these artists, and doing that. And that's something else that I just wanted to touch on, that is an option. That is it's a stage that's empty.
Yes.
That's what that show is.
Right.
All you got to do is fill it.
Yep.
If you're an artist, and I don't care if you're a musician, a photographer, a mime, I don't care what you do, we'll have you on the show.
Yeah.
And so that's something else for the audience, for everybody to keep in mind that we're looking forward to in 2023 and doing more of and having more people on. And did you have something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, FRM, I think I can speak for FRM in this. We appreciate what Civic Media is doing here in our community, here at the station. The support of the arts by this station has changed. changed, I think, a lot of things for the better in our community. We feel supported now. I mean, that's the bottom line. And just as a funny side note, anytime I was talking to an FRM Friday musician about the 9 a.m. start, I was surprised. You know what they said? That's okay. I'll be there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, not that we want to, you know, have it swayed toward 9 a.m. in the future. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they love to be here.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to having so many of them back. I've talked to Anna. Anna Makes Music. Yeah. Brad Jansen. A number of people I've been talking to that just, they really enjoy not just being on the air with us and all that. They love the idea of promoting FRM. They love promoting their own music, of course, too. But it's this, again, typical Midwesterners. It's not just that they want to promote themselves. It's this added stuff that they get to do along with it.
We try to take care of each other here.
Yeah, and it's really what this is all about. And really, such a the core essence of FRM is really supporting each other, being there for each other.
Yeah.
One of these days, I want to get together, Connie, because I got it. I had these questions lined up. in case we had time, I'd love to know how you balance you, the artist, and you, the producer, kind of FRM and helping FRM, because that seems like a balance that can't always be easy to pull off. You got other things going on in your life, too, and all that and stuff. So we'll talk, though. Part two. That'll be part two of this interview.
I'd be happy to.
For now, do me a big favor. Say hi to Jack for me.
Oh, absolutely. Love hi, that Jack, man. By the way. He's probably listening.
Hi, Jack. I hope you're doing good, brother. Connie, if I am an artist, if I am somebody out there listening, and FRM, I know that's a perfect match with what I do and stuff, or I'm a business and I want to help be a part of these things, how can I reach you?
Probably the easiest way is to go on Facebook and just type in Friends of Rapids Music. It'll take you right to our page. You can see everything that's going on musically in our area, and then you can send me a private message right from that page. And that's really the fastest way to reach me. I'm online probably 16 hours a day. So that's the easiest way to get a hold of me directly.
And I want to encourage you to bookmark frmgroup.org. It's a fantastic website. It's where you can find out so much information about not only the local artists, but what's going on with FRM. And of course,